Welcome back in, everyone, to the Proverbs series. I'm Michael, and teaching you through Proverbs 31 chapters. We are on chapter 28 in this teaching. By the way, if you're just jumping in via podcast or video, I got to tell you, it's been a wonderful series. We've gotten a lot of great feedback, and I'm thankful for that. For those listening, whether it be podcasts, your favorite podcast app, or YouTube, Rumble, whatever it may be. And the goal here is for you to grab your own Bible. My encouragement strongly has been for you to get a physical Bible, not your phone, but a physical Bible. So if you're watching this on your phone or listening to this on your phone, you know, go get a physical Bible. Get yourself a highlighter. Go to Staples or online. Get yourself a little physical highlighter and maybe even a notepad. Now, I know many of you, what you've done is you've actually taken the initiative because you're overachievers. And you've actually gotten a group of people together by now. I've been talking about this for some time, and you've actually taken that advice, and you've gotten a group of people together. And there's four or five of you sitting in the room watching this, so welcome in. I'm glad to be there. Or maybe there's more of you if there's churches utilizing this as well and using this as a study that they can use. Remember, the goal here, if you are facilitating this, is to stop and press pause throughout, so that way you can talk about things that pop up. And, you know, that kind of a thing, small group kind of format. If you're going through this alone or solo, I'm proud of you for kind of jumping into this. The goal here is to share 31 chapters of Proverbs, one for every day. And then the challenge really for you, the Proverbs challenge really, is for you to not only continue to repeat this every month, but to share this with three or four or five people that you know, so that way you can have your friends. How good is it, by the way, when the friends that you hang out with have a mindset that is similar to yours? Have a mindset that is positive and growing and encouraging and developing. I'll tell you, it just helps you get even sharper. And that's so important. Before we jump into Proverbs 28, let's have a word of prayer and we'll dive in. Father, I just want to thank you again for the opportunity today to be able to share Proverbs 28 with everyone that is joining us as we walk through this together. We pray that this, your word really would be used in a way that it would challenge the hearts and minds of many. And there would be one or two things that they could pull out to apply to their lives to really change their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's jump in here. I got my highlighter, and I highlighted the first verse here in 28. It says, "The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions." This is something for me that I think about. When you're walking in life and you have nothing to hide, you're walking in integrity, you walk firmly, you walk confidently. There might be people that throw stones at you or darts at you, but you're confident in the reality. And this is something that I learned years ago, by the way. When I say years, I'm saying a couple years ago, is the reality that let the truth about who you are, let the truth defend itself. Don't worry about trying to defend yourself all the time and say, well, yeah, but she said this and he said that and they said this. No. Let the truth defend itself. You walk with integrity. You walk upright. You walk in a way that you know you're doing what you need to do each and every day. And that's why I love the end of the verse. It says, but the godly are as bold as lions. They're not worried about what the world thinks. They're not worried about what the world says. They're walking in a way that they know is honoring to the Lord. Why? Well, the primary reason is because, truth be told, they have more of an eternal perspective. They have more of an eternal mindset. So they realize that this life is not the end. It's just the beginning. That's so important. When you start to think and walk through life through the lens that this life is not the end. I'm going to be on this planet for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, whatever it is, years, and then game over. No. No. This is just the beginning. This is the precursor. But what's interesting is what you do on this earth, the Bible talks about, will dictate what your eternity looks like. What you do with Jesus, whether you've accepted him as your Savior or not, dictates whether or not you go to heaven or hell. What you do on this earth for the Lord dictates what your life looks like in eternity, right? There's positions in heaven the Bible talks about. We're not going to get into that now. But that's why I believe believers, in a lot of ways, the end of verse 1, are as bold as lions as they walk on this earth. Maybe not every day, maybe not all the time, but they get back up and they walk that way. Verse 2, when there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easily. Hey, little side note, this is why you need to make sure that you are protecting and preparing yourself. I think we would all agree that we have moral rot, moral, which is making good decisions, moral decisions. We have moral rot in our country. I was talking as a side note to someone yesterday that is going to be doing some things for us at our event, upcoming golf event here in Palm Beach in November. And what's interesting is we were talking about the idea that America, when you look at America, now I don't know where you are in the world in listening to this, but when you look at America, what a lot of people know, what most people know, then when you research it, is America was the youngest, wealthiest, fastest growing country that ever was on the face of the earth, right? Now, the question is, why was that the case? Why was that the case? Well, the reality of it is, I believe the reason that's the way it was is because America was actually built on biblical principles. A lot of people don't know that our founding fathers that actually founded America, they learned to read using a book called the New England Primer. Now, many of you are not going to know what that is, but the New England Primer, what it did is it took the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It took a letter, and then it took the letter and it used a verse for each letter. So letter A, a verse, letter B, a verse, letter C, a verse, and so on. So they literally learned their alphabet while reading the Word of God, while reading the Bible. If you look at a lot of our monuments, if you look at a lot of our documents and the way they're written, there's biblical verses and God-breathed wisdom all through the founding documents of our country, right? And one of the things that we know is probably in the last 20 to 25 years, it's become very evident there has been a significant move in trying to remove God and the things of God from anything in schools, in the government, etc. And it just so happens that we are seeing a rapid decline as America being a superpower in the world at the same time. So the question is, do you think it's coincidental that America, that was founded on biblical principles, was the fastest growing, youngest country ever in history? And now that we're eliminating and getting rid of those biblical principles, we're starting a significantly fast decline. And we're in a situation where we're saying we don't want anything to do with God as a society, at least from the leadership perspective. So we have moral rot within our country. And we got to be careful because its government can topple easily, verse 2 tells us. But wise and knowledgeable leaders bring stability. I love that. John Maxwell says, everything rises and falls with leadership, which is true. Verse 3, a poor person who oppresses the poor is like a pounding rain that destroys the crops. To reject the law is to praise the wicked. To obey the law is to fight them. Evil people, verse 5, don't understand justice, but those who follow the Lord understand completely. Better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and rich. Young people who obey the law are wise. Those with wild friends bring shame to their parents. You know, that's something we've talked about before, the idea of guilty by association. This is so important. Hey, listen, not only adults, but also kids, teenagers out there, as you're watching this, if you're being led through this by your parents, it tells us right here, verse 7, young people who obey the law are wise. Those with wild friends bring shame to their parents. And we've seen this in times past where someone might be hanging out with bad people. There's another verse that says, evil company corrupts good character. So if you're hanging out with friends that are doing the wrong things, you're like, oh, hey, let's go do this. Remember earlier verses, it says how evil people just love to do evil. Listen, if you're hanging out with people like that, you're better off being by yourself or with one friend than being with a bunch of people and feeling like you're cool and they're wild and crazy. You're going to bring shame on your parents. You're going to find yourself at some point in time in a place where you wish you wouldn't be, but you get there because you've made bad decisions and bad friends. All right. So when we take a look at this verse 8, it says, income for charging high interest from charging high interest rates will end up in the pocket of someone who is kind to the poor. God detests the prayers of a person who ignores the law. Verse 10, those who lead good people along an evil path will fall into their own trap, but the honest will inherit good things. Rich people may think they are wise, but a poor person with discernment can see right through them. When the godly succeed, everyone is glad. When the wicked take charge, people go into hiding. Wow. How about that? When the godly succeed, everyone is glad. Verse 13, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's important. Verse 14, blessed are those who fear to do wrong, but the stubborn are headed for serious trouble. A wicked ruler is as dangerous to the poor as a roaring lion or an attacking bear. A ruler with no understanding will oppress his people, but one who hates corruption will have a long life. A murderer's tormented conscience will drive him into the grave. Don't protect him. The blameless will be rescued from harm, but the crooked will be suddenly destroyed. A hard worker has plenty of food. A person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. That's a great test for all of us to say, don't spend your time chasing things that you think might make sense, but actually aren't, right? In other words, get good counsel in your life. I've highlighted this next verse, verse 20. It says, the trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. Showing partiality is never good, yet some will do wrong with a mere piece of bread. Greedy people try to get rich quick, but they don't realize they're headed for poverty. Stay away from those get rich quick schemes, okay? Verse 23, in the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. Anyone who steals from his father and mother and says, what's wrong with that, is no better than a murderer. Greed causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. Those who trust their own insights are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. Wow. So, you know, there was something that I heard years ago from Joyce Meyer, and she said, I thought this was really interesting. She said her MO in life, mode of operation in life, was that if she saw a need, that she was going to take care of that need if she could, and believe that God was going to provide for her. In other words, she walked and lived in her life in such a way that she realized that if she had been blessed with something, that part of her responsibility was to help others that weren't. And I think that's a great way to look at life in a lot of ways. Verse 28, when the wicked take charge, people go into hiding. When the wicked meet disaster, the godly flourish. So that's the end of 28. But it talks a lot about the idea of rulers and kings and those that are in charge. And this is a great warning if you're watching this, if you're leading a company or if you're leading a church or if you're leading something. It's important that as a leader, we really pay attention to how we are leading and making sure that we're leading in a way that is godly, leading in a way that is honoring, leading in a way that lifts others up. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't times where you need to take a firm stance on something, and there are going to be people, when you take that firm stance, that don't agree with you. Welcome to being a leader. That's part of the deal. There's going to be those that throw stones at you, those that disagree with you. Sometimes those that are very close to you might disagree with you, but that's okay. You still have to take the stance on what is right. That's so important. Lead well. And men, may I challenge you to step up and lead your families well. That's important. Hey, listen, that was Proverbs 28. Thanks for dialing in. Share this with someone that needs to hear it. And I look forward to seeing you for Proverbs 29. Thanks again. See you soon.